now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Valley Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Olson's for Healthy Animals, House Chilson & Associates, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, and Sherrick Insurance. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the town of Prescott Valley, Kel Palguda.
Hey, she's not lying. I am Mayor Kel Palguda of Prescott Valley. Glad you guys could join us today. We got some, believe it or not, what I think is exciting things to talk about. We're going to talk about water, and we're going to talk a little bit about our business area going on with what's going on with COVID-19. But most importantly, we're going to talk about our water resources. We got the town of Prescott Valley's own John Munderlow here to basically answer any questions that I have in reference to water, and hopefully you have them too. And I tell people I think John's forgot more about water than I'll ever know about water, so that's always good. Let's stick around, and we're going to just take a short break. So you're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Let's make your hair happy. Let's go to a fun, friendly salon. Let's go to Janessa's Family Hair Care in Prescott Valley. Hi, Janessa here. Whether you're looking for a new trendy style or something more traditional, Janessa's Family Hair Care can do it. We offer everything from hair extensions, cuts, colors, and a variety of hair care for the entire family. Call 775-0320 for an appointment or find us on Facebook at Janessa's with an E Family Hair Care. Come on in for a smile and a style that's right for you.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. We live in interesting times, and the security of knowing what's in store for us in the future is up in the air for now. However, that doesn't mean that we can't make the best of what we have. There is a silver lining under every cloud, you know. Here at Olson's in Prescott, we've been looking at ways that we can make these times easier for you, your pets, and your wild birds. That means delivering to those who can't or don't want to leave their houses for one reason or another. These days, that can mean self-quarantine, or at the very least social distancing. On a side note, did you ever think we'd be talking about this? Be that as it may, however, if pet food / wild bird delivery is a solution for you, just call 445-1664. We're offering free delivery within 10 miles of our Prescott store with orders of $25 or more. When you call, just give our associate your order, pay by credit card, and if you call before our delivery vehicle leaves, you can possibly even get your order the same day. Our mission is the health of your animals, and for us, good enough just isn't. We're waiting to hear from you.
Gaxiola and Litwack, your criminal defense team in Arizona. Call 602-717-0631 or visit their website, www.gaxiolalitwack.com.
We have 25 years of solid trial experience handling cases from first-degree murder, drug cases, to assault cases. We have the experience, reputation, and dedication to assist anyone in any court across the state of Arizona.
We look through every piece of evidence to find and fight every potential constitutional violation. We aim to win by leaving no stone unturned, to form early and aggressive strategies to fight the government at trial, because we actually care, and because there's two sides to every story that deserve to be told.
Gaxiola and Litwack, your criminal defense team in Arizona. Call 602-717-0631 or visit their website, www.gaxiolalitwack.com. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the town of Prescott Valley, Kel Palguda.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And as I mentioned before, we took a break. We've got John Munderlow here, and we're going to talk about water. Welcome, John.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mayor.
Hey, John, real quick, for those of you, our listeners that don't know you, can you just give a little bit about yourself?
I'm the water resource manager with the town of Prescott Valley. I've been employed at Prescott Valley for about 15 years. Been doing this job in water resource management for a good chunk over 30. I kind of lost track, actually, at this point. So pretty familiar with it, pretty familiar with the area, having been born here and raised here.
Yeah, no, definitely. You and your family have been around for a long time in the Prescott area, right?
Right.
So, hey, we're just going to get right into it. Let everyone know, where does our water come from?
Thank you, Mayor. I love answering this question because people come here and they just don't have a concept. They're from areas maybe where there's a lot of water on the surface of the ground, Minnesota or something.
Or perhaps California.
Perhaps California. Okay. And they see Watson Lake or something and think, boy, that's all the water we have. And no, that's not where we get our water. Some of it comes from Watson Lake for the city of Prescott, but the vast majority of the water we rely on is in a large underground aquifer. It resides underneath the area ranging from Dewey to Williamson Valley on up to Chino, includes the airport area. So it's what we call a primary aquifer. There's a good volume of water in that aquifer.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not like an underground lake. It's, area has been filled in with what we call alluvial material, and then that alluvial material contains within it, between the particle sizes, some water. About 10% of that material is water, and that's what we do. We drill a well in the ground, and we can pump water out of the ground.
Because some people actually, believe it or not, when I go out and talk to them, they think that it's like you said, like an underground lake where people, like we drill, and all of a sudden we hit just a huge cavern of water. And that's not the case at all.
Right, yeah. It's contained between those pore spaces, just like if you went to the beach and dug a hole in the sand and some water came out.
Yep.
It's like that.
No, that's good to know.
In a way. And so contained in that aquifer, as we were talking, we were trying to put this in terms that people might have more relatable to. So we have, in terms of National Football League, stadiums.
Yeah.
Right?
Very familiar.
So about 9,100 football stadiums of water in the aquifer.
And I think you used the Dallas Stadium?
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys
right.
Stadium.
Yeah, that was the one I could find on the internet.
Sure.
Yeah.
So 9,100 of those filled with water
right.
is the equivalent of what we have underneath.
That's what we have in storage right now. And under the ground, you know, generally it's about 400 to 500 feet under the surface of the ground, which if you laid it out on, you know, on a sidewalk, that'd only be about two city blocks.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And of that 9,100 football fields, we're just going to call it that for now, how much does the town of Prescott Valley use?
The town of Prescott Valley pumps about 2.5 football stadiums out of the ground.
Is that a day, a week, a month?
Oh, a year, I'm sorry.
A year?
In a year, yeah.
So we get 2.5 football stadiums out of the 9,100 every year.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of good to know. And then... then there's others that draw from this,
right?
9,100. So let's talk about that a little.
Yeah, throughout the whole aquifer, about five additional football stadiums are withdrawn.
Okay.
So that's the city of Prescott, the other communities,
sure.
You know, other water users,
out.
Private wells, that sort of thing, right?
Okay.
Right.
But that's just for our area. So
right.
we're looking
within this groundwater basin, right?
Okay. And what goes back in? Because obviously we use water. Everyone knows we use water. Some gets used for, goes away from evaporation, but then some gets absorbed back into the earth, right?
Right, right. It's what we call recharge. So there's natural and artificial recharge. Rough numbers again, about 4 football stadiums are returned.
So out of the 6?
Out of the 7.5
total okay.
between all the users. So, you know, we're overpumping the aquifer about 3.5 football stadiums a year in rough numbers. But because we have 9,000 to draw on, we're not going to run out of water anytime soon.
Sure. No,
you know,
absolutely.
That's kind of the issue. We have water there, but we do want to address that long-term decline, and we're working on it, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more.
Yeah, so the goal, and people need to understand that the goal of Prescott Valley is not to just look 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, but we're looking 5, 10, 20 generations down the road.
That's right.
So that's key that we're going to have to know. But when we're long gone, that we leave Prescott Valley in a better place than it is in the past.
Right, and we have to work cooperatively with everybody else.
Absolutely.
You know, to the degree we can, and the way we do that, Mayor, is there's something called an active management area that's established in state statute that controls groundwater withdrawals, groundwater and water use within our basin. It controls what we do as a town, what the other large users do. And the overall goal of these statutes, these are state statutes that have been in place since 1980. The overall goal is to reach what's called safe yield, and that is that sustainability level where we're not drawing out more than is replaced every year.
And that active management group or an active management area, there's multiple ones throughout the entire state, correct?
There's five total in the state of Arizona.
That manages all the water for Arizona, basically, roughly.
Actually, no. The issue with the active management area is they're only in five select groundwater basins in Arizona.
Okay.
Covers about 15% of the state's area, but about 85% of the population lives in those basins. So the basins include the Phoenix area, Tucson area, all the way down to the border with Mexico. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So they're responsible. So the town of Prescott Valley or the city of Prescott or Chino Valley, they don't call the shots when it comes to the water management.
Right. Yeah, there's this overarching set of laws that govern what the town of Prescott Valley can do. We have some leeway within those laws of what we can do, but it's called the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, and it set up these goals and restrictions on pumping. And it also recognized, and I think it's important for people to understand, recognized something called water rights. Rights that were existing at the time, 1980.
And we can talk a little bit about that, what a water right, like who had water rights or has them, or who are
right.
those people?
And water rights are important because they're a property right. A property right like a title to a car.
Okay.
You might own a car, but you can't really drive it, get it licensed, and to put it on the street till you have a title to it.
Sure.
It's the same with water. They're two sides of the same coin. You have to have both the physical supply of water, the wet stuff, we call it in Arizona. And mm-hmm. people look at me funny when I talk about wet water and paper water.
Sure.
But again, the paper water would be the water rights. So you have to have the legal authority to withdraw and use the groundwater or any other type of water. Say the surface water in Watson Lake, for instance, belongs to the city of Prescott.
Okay.
And the town of Prescott Valley couldn't just go over to Watson Lake and start taking water out.
Yeah, we can't just run a pipe over there
right.
and just start pumping out.
Right. That's theirs. They have the rights to it. So you have to have both of those elements in order to use water, especially in our area.
Okay.
And so the Department of Water Resources manages both the water rights and the physical supply of water for us. So, they both kind of go together.
So how does, if a resident wants to build a single house, they don't have to worry about water rights, correct? If I as a regular citizen wanted to just go into the heart of Prescott Valley, there's a quarter acre lot, I want to build one house for me and my family, I don't have to deal with the ADWR or anything, do I?
Well, it will have already been dealt with.
It's already been allocated
right.
for
so
that
So somebody
lot.
Had, typically, in, at least in Prescott Valley, would have been a developer.
Sure.
Would have been required to go out and for all of their lots that they're trying to develop, they put in the roads, put in the pipes.
Right.
But none of that is allowed until the developer proves to the Department of Water Resources that they have a 100-year supply of water.
Okay. What exactly does that mean?
It means that they can guarantee a supply of water for that home, each home within their development, for a 100-year period minimum.
Gotcha.
And the proof for that is complex. There's a whole bunch
right.
of elements to that proof, and so it goes through this process with hydrologists and attorneys and whatnot down at the Department of Water Resources. They're the ones that make that decision.
Right. Not the town of Prescott Valley.
Not the town of Prescott Valley, right.
So
and it's significant that the town council can't second guess that then.
Yeah, we can't override that and right. say, absolutely not, this is not factual or anything like that.
Right.
So when people see a development and they see, first they'll see some houses being built up and they're like, well, where's the water come for that house or that house or that house? Is it safe to say that the water has already been allocated for as if there was a house on every empty lot in that subdivision?
Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
It's already been calculated, allocated, and basically set aside. So the house
and that's
A
key, set aside. So
yeah,
there's already water for that. There's property.
Exactly. There's water for that property.
And I think that's something that maybe some people might not understand. They think it's on a case by case basis or a house by house basis. When in fact it's not. It's already been vetted by the state and the developer. Mainly the state is the one that decides it, and they say, hey, yes, you have enough water for X number of houses in this area.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
That's definitely good to know, because we often hear that. We often hear, we're going to run out of water. And what would you say to that?
Well, we certainly aren't within 100 years.
Within 100 years,
right?
You're saying that that's definitely 100% not going to happen.
Right, because those calculations have been made before those houses were constructed. That 100-year supply, it's a guarantee for homes that went through the process of properly being developed and vetted that way. There is an exception to the rule, as there always is. And as you know, it's the exempt wells, as they're called. They're called exempt because they're exempt from the groundwater regulations. And really what we're talking about is private wells on wildcat lot splits. Mm-hmm. So generally, you know, areas out, say, in the county where somebody gets a 40-acre parcel of land and splits it down to maybe two-acre size, and everybody drills their private well. So there's really no regulations on that. Along with no regulations on that, also kind of comes no guarantees of supply. So if you've decided to kind of go that route and do your own thing, then, you know, don't look to the town or the state or somebody else to guarantee your supplies.
You have a chance that your well goes dry.
You're at risk.
Yeah, there's a chance that you didn't drill deep enough or something like that occurs on that wildcat subdivision lot that you speak of.
That's right.
As opposed to if you were in an incorporated area of the city or the town, you're guaranteed for the next 100 years, you turn on your faucet, water's coming out.
That's correct.
And that's good to know. And it's good to know that the state is actually that recognizes that it's their job to manage that. Because otherwise, I could see how it could kind of run rampant with some cities or towns going one way or the other in regards to growth.
And honestly, that was a problem back in the 70s, and that's why we have these regulations.
All right, folks, that was pretty a pretty quick little segment, but stick around. We still got more of John. We're just going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time, when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Hello, Radioland folks. This is Roxanne giving you a status update on Prescott Brewing Company. We are manning our phones when we can, with most asking if we are doing takeout food to go. I only have 30 seconds here, so the short answer is no. We are not at this time. We're using this time to make much-needed repairs to our kitchen flooring, so please be patient with us. We cannot wait to cook and serve you again. Prescott Brewing Company, doing the best we can to become fun and friendly again. Brewpub style. See you when we open.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Okay, come on, Darby, let's go.
What a sunrise. This is Thumb Butte at its best.
We're all about bright, healthy futures at YRMC's James Family Heart Center. And our Echo Alert program is a shining example. It was designed by YRMC's innovative heart team to find heart valve disease early. That means we treat heart valve disease faster in our community, and we use the latest leading-edge procedures. In fact, the Heart Center's Echo Alert program is now a national care model. A better way to manage heart valve disease, the most advanced treatments, exceptional heart specialists, and your bright, healthy future. All at the James Family Heart Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop.
Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rugby Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the town of Prescott Valley, Kel Palguda.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We still got John Mundelow here. We're talking about water, and we're just going to kind of continue in with what the town of Prescott Valley does. Let's talk about reclaim, recharge. What do they do to manage their water?
Yeah, so we talked about where we're at with water supplies. Even though houses and homes in Prescott Valley have this guaranteed supply, we are still taking too much water out of the aquifer.
Yes.
So that creates a sense of a long-term shortage that we need to address, because we want to reach sustainability with that. We want to overcome that. And so one of the things we do at the town of Prescott Valley is we recapture wastewater from all the homes. We send it to our wastewater treatment plant, create what's called A-plus effluent, reclaimed water. So it's a way to recycle water. We used to just discard it because there was no need for it.
Okay.
It was a waste product. It still wasn't set for drinking. But what we do now is we recharge that water. We put it in settling basins. You'll see some of these if you're traveling down Fane Road and look off to your right.
To
the west, past Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. Those are settling basins where we put that reclaimed water, and it soaks through the ground, the fine grain material, and goes through a final polish process and joins the water that's in the ground.
It's like Earth's natural way of filtering water.
Correct.
What happens.
Correct. Yeah. And so it takes quite a long time for it to reach the groundwater table. And then, so that adds to the general supply that's in the aquifer and helps us get to these states of safe yield. Then what's important about this is that water helps provide water for new growth, so that new growth is not exacerbating the issue with groundwater withdrawal.
Okay.
So all of the existing homes, more or less, in Prescott Valley are depending on groundwater. There's a few new homes now that depend on that reclaimed water. So we put it in the ground, and we add it to the aquifer, and then we can take it back out through pumping.
Right.
And serve it to those new homes. That's the only way planned growth can occur in Prescott Valley, is off of water that replenishes and does not exacerbate the withdrawals from the aquifer.
Gotcha. So I try to explain to some people, it's almost like a 401k or like a bank account. We're trying to get it to, if you're going to live for X number of years, that you don't want your bank account to go down to zero, so you're constantly making sure it gathers interest or you're putting money back in, and that's kind of the way we view water.
It is, and that's how the Department of Water Resources manages it. Again, we don't make this stuff up out of thin air.
Right.
It's in state statute. These are the things we're allowed to do, and these things require us to obtain permits for everything, virtually every action we take. So in this case, it's like a bank account, like you said, where we put water in the ground, and the state agency recognizes that, as long as everything's done according to Hoyle, adds it to a long-term storage account, just like a bank account.
Yep.
And then if we pump it out, then they just subtract it from that bank account. And that way they can keep track of inputs and withdrawals from the account, basically as they manage it.
And what's the story with injection wells? Like, how does that work? How do we do a well that we inject back into the...
Right. So similar, one of the projects that the town's working on is a direct injection well.
Correct.
We talked about how we put water in settling basins so that it slowly settles into the ground. In this injection well, we'll be putting it more directly into the aquifer. But again, before it gets withdrawn from any well, there's at least a mile separation between where it goes in and where it would come back out. So it'll sit in the ground. It'll be residence in the ground for years, decades perhaps. And it would have to go through, at that point, 5,000 feet of filtration at least before it gets pumped back out. So these processes allow for the water to be polished, so you get that same good quality of water that we still pump out and maintain the level in the aquifer.
Sure. No. That's a good plan. And what about the lakes over on Lakeshore? Like where people, you see people fishing and stuff. What are those?
Those were settling basins for a test a long time ago. They sealed over. They're not good for that. But in that vicinity is where we're going to try our first injection.
Well, just to the actually to the southwest a little bit.
Where
almost directly south of Mountain Valley Park. Down at the amphitheater is
exactly
where you're speaking of in regards to that.
Right. So we've been putting reclaimed water, into that location for a long period of time. So we're just going to go. The issue in Prescott Valley that we struggle with is there's a lot of clay, and it is hard to get water to move through it.
Sure.
So we want to get past some of that clay and get down into the coarser aquifer below.
Because you'll hear people say that water doesn't go back into the aquifer for decades. Is that true? Like, does water not filter back down for 10, 20, 30 years? Or is it partially true?
It could be partially true. I know that for a fact with our recharge facilities, the ponds we talked about,
correct,
we could see a direct response 150 feet down after 18 months of operation.
So, if we measure it,
yeah,
we'll know.
We could definitely see the response from recharge, our activities, putting that water, and the groundwater rise that was caused from that after 18 months.
So that's a far off from, 10, 20 years, as some people make claim. So 18 months, you're seeing a direct effect.
And it's the issue with water. It's so easy to confuse different issues. So that's water moving direct vertically down under the force of gravity, right?
Gotcha.
But if you were looking at how water moves horizontally,
of course,
that takes a much, much longer time because there's not a lot of gravitational gradient there,
right,
and it's moving through that material. So, yeah, it can take – we did a little study. It takes something like 20 years for water to move a third of a mile, I think it was, horizontally.
Laterally.
Yeah, right.
But not vertically.
But vertically. So it depends. Depends on what you're talking about.
That definitely makes sense, and there's always – I guess there's always different ways to cut the pie, I guess, and that's kind of where the confusion comes with water. What would you say, John, to people that say, hey, I know so-and-so whose well went dry and is a direct relation to the town of Prescott Valley building more houses? Is it viable?
No.
Are we responsible for someone's well going dry in Chino Valley?
We're regulated. The town of Prescott Valley's wells are regulated by spacing regulations. We're regulated by how much we can withdraw from each well. We're regulated by how much we can withdraw from our entire system over a course of time. And one of the things we have to do before we put in a new well is we have to do what's called a spacing study, so that we prove that we won't cause unreasonable harm to any nearby wells that are in place at that time. So, no, we're regulated, and we're not allowed to harm nearby private wells. But private wells, when they all kind of clump up, they can, harm each other.
Gotcha.
Because, again, they're what we call exempt wells. They're not regulated, so you take those on risk. So you get a big neighborhood full of exempt wells. Again, they may not be located in the right spot in the aquifer. And so people go at risk to drill their own well.
Right.
I think it's a very rare occurrence that somebody's well.
In regards to the population.
In regards to the total number. I mean, we have something like 12,000. Of these private wells.
And so
if one or two go dry in a period of time, it's one of those things that gains a lot of traction in the community.
Right.
But it's a small population.
In regards to private wells, I had heard that we have the most private wells in, our area as compared to some, the rest of Arizona. Is that true or is that not true?
It's true that we have the densest number.
The densest number in regards to the
Yeah, we have something like, 10% of the state's private wells on an area that is 0.5% of the state's area.
Gotcha. So it's more of a concentrated area.
It's a concentrated area, right.
And naturally, it would be as if there's just a bunch of individual straws in a milkshake, just drinking from a cup.
Yeah, in a good analogy. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And that's kind of how it looks. Well, that's good to know. And we're running, we got about 2 minutes left, John. If there's something that you think we should be telling our listeners about water, this is your time.
Well, we had that thing that came up in social media about we applied for a permit for these recovery wells. And again, this is a way that we can legally withdraw water that we've legally put into the ground.
Correct.
So that's how you access your account. It's like opening a checking account. Yeah, you've been putting money into your savings for, say, in our case, couple decades.
Right.
Now it's time to take some money out so that you can, you know, meet needs of new growth or whatever. This is how you do it. It's just an accounting procedure.
Gotcha.
But when people saw our application, posted by ADWR, they thought we were drilling 25 new wells.
That's no exaggeration. They literally thought the town of Prescott Valley was going to drill 25 new wells throughout the town limits.
Right. And all this was being able to put an additional permit on something that already exists.
Gotcha.
We can't take more water out than we already can.
Yeah, because that would be, roughly a price of a well. What are we looking at? $2 million?
$2 million, so yeah.
Give or take.
$50 million just for fun. Right?
Just to throw it in there. Yeah, that would certainly raise some eyebrows. I can certainly understand the concerns there, but in fact it was just trying to just square up the numbers.
Right. Big misunderstanding.
On what we're doing. And and that's what the key is. The key is if you have any questions, you reach out to John at the office. John, how could someone get a hold of you?
By phone. My number is 928-759-3105.
Or
email is jmunderloh, jmunderloh, at pvaz.net.
So if you have, you're constantly responding to citizens, trying to just let them know, hey, these are the facts, this is what it is, and it's okay for them to reach out because that's what you're here for.
It's part of what I'm here for. I'd rather deal with that than have rumors.
And that's the key. Everyone, I would rather you go through the town of Prescott Valley, speak to John, as opposed to getting your information off of Facebook or MySpace or whatever your social media choice may be. So, John, I just want to thank you for coming in. We're going to be taking a quick break, and we'll be coming back with Ben Hooper from the town of Prescott Valley talking about our business angle for things. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Being a good community partner right now means more than donating to local charities and youth groups. It means making provisions so Findlay Buick GMC customers can have their vehicle needs met without having to step foot into our showroom. It means having extra staff on the phones and in the chat room to take care of your service or sales appointments and arrange for pickup and delivery of your vehicle. It means taking care of our neighbors while running a business. And best of all, you can do it all from the MC or certified used. Just head to FindlayBuickGMC.com and click on the chat bubble. You can arrange financing, and then we'll deliver your new car, truck, or crossover to your door. Do you need service or parts? Call our team, and we'll pick up and drop off what you need. You have always been able to do all of these things with FindlayBuickGMC.com. It's one more way we work towards being your community partner.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Tuesday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. A University of Arizona epidemiologist says hundreds of people who gathered for Monday's protest against Arizona's stay-at-home order risked their own health and that of others in the process, with the COVID-19 virus still active. Dr. Casey Ernst says, all things considered,
if my assumption is correct that people who are gathering in these protests are also folks that maybe haven't been doing as much of the physical distancing as has been recommended anyway, it's the family members that they go back to, it for the people that they encounter in the grocery store, et cetera. So anytime you have a mass gathering, you set the stage for potential transmission events.
Dr. Ernst adds protesters shouting can send projectiles of the virus if they're carriers. Add to that the lack of social distancing, clusters of unmasked people shouting as an estimated 500 protesters marched to the Capitol demanding Governor Ducey lift the stay-at-home executive order. Mostly sunny with spot showers dissipating, chilling after bedtime to a mostly clear 42. Toward a sunny rest of the week and weekend, and much warmer. Breezy highs tomorrow near 72, Thursday and Friday 78 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, clearing this afternoon, cooling overnight to a mostly clear 47. Warming to a sunny 82 tomorrow, 86 Thursday and Friday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Tuesday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
Waters Garden companion plants for the month are poppy, columbine, purple plum, and our perfumed lilac.
The fragrance will remind you of visits to grandmother's house.
A truly outstanding lilac for the large flowers and captivating fragrance, and super easy to grow.
She is in a class by herself, even in the hottest of sun locations.
The more sun she receives, the more flowers you'll have.
Perfumed lilac can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in
At Findlay Toyota Prescott, we understand you might not want to venture out right about now. So we're bringing you a better way to buy a car without ever setting foot in the dealership with our Findlay Toyota Prescott Concierge Program. We'll work with you just as if you've walked into the showroom. Look over our inventory online at FindlayToyotaPrescott.com. Compare features and prices online, and then work with our product specialist and finance department, all from the comfort of your own home, to complete your car buying experience. When you're done, a Findlay Toyota new car specialist will deliver your car, go over the features and options, and hand you the keys. When the time comes for service, we'll pick up and deliver. Just go to FindlayToyotaPrescott.com and click on the customer service chat. Findlay Toyota Prescott and FindlayToyotaPrescott.com. Open online all the time, offering a new way to purchase your next vehicle.
This is Jamal McCoy at Findlay Toyota Prescott. We're here for you.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the town of Prescott Valley, Kel Palguda.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. We just had John Munderlow on, but we're going to kind of switch gears now. And we got Ben Hooper from the town of Prescott Valley, and we're going to talk about the business community and what's going on there. Ben, can you hear me?
I can. Good afternoon, Mayor. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining us. And just for the other listeners, Ben is out of the studio, so if it might sound a little different, that's why. Ben, just take it away right now. Like, what should we be talking about? What should our listeners be understanding about what's going on in regards to the town?
Well, I think, you know, as far as our business community is concerned, I think first and foremost, people need to know that there are folks behind the curtain that genuinely do care. We care 100% about what is going on with your business. We understand that different businesses are facing different challenges right now. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't always have all of the answers. But we certainly do care and been working, very hard to get the questions answered, that run the gamut.
Yeah. Cause a lot of people have questions in regards to like, they just, a lot of the unknown. Cause obviously this isn't something we deal with every day, every year, every lifetime. So it helps to have someone that they can reach out to. And I know you are constantly fielding questions. What are some of the questions that you've been getting?
Well, you know, the most recent questions have to do with the two primary disaster loans that are available through the federal government for businesses right now. And this is, when I say for businesses, you could be, you know, it's just a business smaller than 500 employees.
Okay.
So you could be a nonprofit, you could be a for-profit. You could be an independent contractor or self-employed. You could be organized as an LLC, an S-Corp, or a C-Corp. All of you are eligible for these two programs.
And so do they go to a certain place for this? Is it one bank? Is it a website? What do they do?
It depends on which type of loan. So as I said, there's two primary loans. The first is the economic injury disaster loan.
Okay.
And that is provided directly through the SBA, or the Small Business Administration. And to apply for that loan, and I should mention, and this is why this is in the news, is both the funding for that loan and another loan called the Paycheck Protection Program, the funding has run dry. Folks are probably aware of that.
Correct.
There is legislation that is going through the processes literally as we speak. It passed the Senate today. It is expected to pass the House tomorrow, and the president will sign it, that will reallocate funding to these programs. So that's the first thing I've been getting, is people saying, oh, you know, I've applied for these programs, but now we're running out of money. If you've applied for the program, your application is in the queue. You don't need to reapply. So,
and that's good to know. I get that.
Either one.
I get that. I get a few of those questions. Like, hey, do I have to reapply? And no, you've applied once. You might have been denied because there was no money, but hey, they still got all your information, and they're going to hopefully get to you.
Correct. And so now it's just about staying on top of your lender. So if you applied for the economic injury disaster loan, then you would want to contact the Small Business Administration directly. And so there's two ways. There's an email, disastercustomerservice@sba.gov, or you can call their 800 line, which is 1-800-659-2955, and look for an update. And I'm just being straight up, you will probably have a long wait time.
That's understandable. Not every, but the country's pretty big, so it's going to have a lot of people trying to reach out for this service.
It is. And this disaster loan program was an existing loan program that was run through the SBA prior to COVID. So that is both a good thing in that there's a little bit of a framework set up, but also it was never meant to deal with this scale of a disaster. And
sure.
So that's why the SBA does just ask for folks' patience. Now, the other program that's available is the Paycheck Protection Program. And this is probably the one that's been the most widely publicized in the news. It would essentially be a loan to a business to be able to make the loan amount would be 2.5 times your average payroll.
Okay.
And the idea is to be able to make payroll using at least 75% of those funds for the next 8 weeks for your employees. And if you, you know, achieve that goal of using at least 75% of those funds to make your payroll, as well as some other boxes you need to check, hiring folks back, lenders will walk them through that process. If you achieve those goals, that loan can be converted to a grant.
Gotcha.
And that one, it would be set up through your lender. So if you are, whoever it is, if you're a business owner, you presumably have a business bank account. Whoever you have your business banking with is who you should be applying for the Paycheck Protection Program. There's a few lenders out there that are not going to be able to participate in that program if they're not SBA-approved lenders. And if you find yourself in that position where your bank is not one of the approved lenders, there are other banks or in the state. Locally, I know that Foothills Bank is taking new customers, and that can help process that. There's also national organizations such as PayPal and Square Up that are helping customers with that. So if you use those services, they might be able to help expedite that process. And again, if you've already put in an application through your lender, then you should be following up with your lender once money is released to understand, okay, what do I need to do now? Is there any other information I need?
Gotcha.
For folks who have not yet applied for any of these, if you would like to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program, call your lender and start the process now. Even though the funding isn't quite there yet, it will be forthcoming in the next few days. You should be calling up your lender and finding out what information you need to set aside so that when the portal opens up, you can apply. If you're looking for the economic injury disaster loan, folks will have to wait until that portal reopens when the funding is there. And then again, it's a little exercise in patience. The internet site goes down sometimes. Folks find that sometimes that they get better results using it in the middle of the night when there's less traffic on the internet. And that would be at covid19relief.sba.gov to apply for the economic injury disaster loan assistance.
Gotcha. And also, Town of Prescott Valley, we have a COVID-19 menu button on our Town of Prescott Valley page. I think some of this information is there as well, correct?
Absolutely. And then the other thing that I've worked with a consortium of economic development entities and different organizations across the county and chambers throughout the county, you know, we all had a common goal of wanting to streamline information and provide the best and most up-to-date information possible to businesses across Yavapai County. And to that end, we created a website. So there is information on the Prescott Valley website as well, but we've also created a website for all Yavapai County businesses. That would be ycazbusinesses.org. And there's a link to that on the Prescott Valley page as well.
Yeah, and then, of course, if businesses or individuals are having difficulty navigating through that, they can always just reach out directly to you and maybe just you can walk them through it over the phone or something.
Absolutely, and I encourage that. And that's part of it. You know, with the federal government and the state government, for that matter, in some instances, just being kind of on overload with the amount of calls and whatnot that they're getting, sometimes it's good to just have a voice at the other end and know that there is, you know, I mean, I know that the feds and the states care too, but it's frustrating when you're sitting on hold for 2 hours, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm available. And so I encourage people, I can't always answer the question, although I can certainly try to find the answer. Many times I'm going to redirect people to a different place.
Sure.
But I can answer and the phone and hopefully answer some questions. And my direct line is 928-759-3106.
And I think that's what it comes down to, Ben, is just people just, there's a lot of questions to a lot of things, not just business-wise, but in the beginning, people were just curious how they were going to get their groceries or how they were going to do their banking. And it was just the unknown, which created so much of a scare and panic. So just knowing that there's someone that is actually able to reach out on the phone and talk to you and just be able to, you can kind of like do what you do to help them out. I think that goes a long way.
Well, certainly. I think to me that's kind of, you know, the purpose, I mean, not maybe the purpose, but one of the advantages of local government. You know, people in a federal or state level, they seem like they're these amorphous figures off in the distance.
Exactly.
And that's not to say that that's even true, but that's the feeling. But in local government, we're your friends and your neighbors. We're the same people that go and shop in the same stores that you do and understand some of these same challenges that you're having right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want folks, we want our business owners, we want our residents to understand that and to please not hesitate to call us on us when we can help.
No, and I think that's so huge, and that's what sets, you know, Yavapai County and Prescott Valley apart from other places in the country, that we actually do care and we want people to succeed and we're there together and we're so much stronger together as opposed to just being by ourselves. And that's why it's so important. That's why I so appreciate you coming on, and I know our listeners, I had a lot of questions in regards to what different options we had, and hopefully you answered some of those. So again, the phone number that they need to reach you at.
It's 928-759-3106, and that's my direct line.
We have about a minute left of this segment, Ben. Is there anything else you just kind of want to add before we take a break?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the next thing is just that we start to pivot and look at reopening. And that's a discussion to have on a business level as much as a customer level. And so that's kind of as a county team, that's what we're looking at. I know that that's certainly what Governor Ducey is looking
Absolutely.
To do and what that looks like, and ensure that we are maintaining our own and everyone else's safety with regard to the spread of the coronavirus while we figure out what that reopening plan looks like.
Yeah, and naturally things are going to look a little different, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bad, and it actually may be even better in the long run. So, Ben, I just want to appreciate you joining us. If you just want to stick around for a few moments after the break, and we'll wrap this thing up if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, Mayor.
Thanks, Ben. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no-problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You brought the office in-house. You set up a schoolroom in your living room. You're caring for the sickest among us. And you just keep bringing it. At Batteries Plus Bulbs, we've never been prouder to back you up. To keep trucks running, thermometers working, each other connected. Because even as we stand apart, we are powerful together. So when you need us, we'll be here at your local Batteries Plus Bulb store, curbside and batteriesplus.com.
Some chocolate and coffee sounds pretty good right now. I'm going to Pralines of Prescott and Firehouse Coffee, of course. We are offering takeout, curbside, call ahead to order, and local delivery too. Locally operated and owned, we are located downtown at 120 West Gurley in the old Capital Market. Open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Call 928-350-8077 or visit us online at pralinesofprescott.com. We can't wait to help you get your coffee and chocolate fix.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the town of Prescott Valley, Kel Palguda.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. We just got a little bit of time left. I just want to kind of recap. We talked about John Munderloh. He was able to answer some questions in regards to water. But currently, right now, we still have Ben Hooper talking to us about business resources. And, Ben, I just want to just recap. As I mentioned, we just have a very, very short period of time. But what's the goal of the town of Prescott Valley, and what are we doing to help?
I mean, really, the goal of the town is to do anything that we can to support our local businesses, large and small, and a lot of that is pretty much giving direction and advice on where folks can go. You know, the Small Business Development Center over at Yavapai College is certainly an excellent resource for professional business counseling, as is SCORE. You know, I'd be happy to get folks in touch with either organization. SCORE is somebody that would, be more, do business counseling with, nonprofits.
Awesome. No, that's terrific, Ben. And they're going to just reach out to you on your phone number. Once again, real quick, it is 928.
That's 928-759-3106.
Awesome, Ben. Hey, I appreciate it. And folks, I just want to close it out with condolences out to the Mayor Mingarelli and his family. He experienced a tremendous tragedy over the past week or so, and I just want to, again, reference, hey, my prayers are out to you, sir. Just hang in there and keep doing what you're doing. The city of Prescott needs you. Everyone, I'll see you next time on the radio.
Been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Genesis Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Cottonwood Area Transit, and Gettles High Desert Mechanical. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m. and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.